This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Business Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by Mark Lehman. Mark's the Chief Executive Officer, CEO of JMP Securities. JMP is a great investment bank, often in the middle market, but he'll talk more about it. Mark, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure, Scott. Thank you. I'm Mark Lehman. I am CEO of JMP Securities. I have worked on Wall Street for almost 29 years after a very short and illustrious career as a lawyer for 2.5 years in Chicago. I moved to San Francisco and started working for a middle market investment bank called Montgomery Securities, which I did for about 12 years and joined here about 17 years ago.
And take a moment before we get started on the more of the discussion of the call. Take a moment and tell the audience just a bit about JMP Securities and maybe a point of pride or two in the business and what you guys do.
Thank you. So JMP Securities, like Scott, is a middle market investment bank. So our goal is to help, and I say it very bluntly, our goal is to take little companies and make them into big companies. And how we do that is we find emerging growth companies who are ready to access capital from institutional investors. So we are not going to raise $1 million or $2 million or $5 million for the next great idea that our friends have or our friends' kids have. What we're going to do is take emerging growth companies and introduce them to institutions. Those are the very people who we know who are mutual funds, pension funds, private equity funds, et cetera, depending on what stage of life these companies have. And so we meet companies very early on in their cycle, and we get to know them very, very well. And hopefully if they need money in the private market, we can do that. And as they get bigger and more needing of capital, we help take them public. And so in just the last couple, 3 years, the companies that we've helped take public include companies like Peloton and Uber and Lyft and Zoom, which we're all using every day. And this week alone is a great one to watch. It's a company called Snowflake, which we have been following for a very long time. The CFO is a perfect example. The CFO was a CFO of a couple of companies before. They liked our firm. They liked our research. They liked our analyst. This is his third company he's helping take public, and Snowflake will be the most visible IPO probably of 2020.
Talk to us for a moment about what Snowflake is, because I keep on seeing it in the news, and I have no idea what it is, but it's getting a lot of press.
Yeah, Snowflake's a good example of a company that's revolutionizing software. So we all talk about software as a service and the cloud. What Snowflake does, and this is a company that's been around for 8 years, so it wasn't created yesterday, they think data-connected world is where we're going. And huge organizations have access to explore all this data and unlock the value of this data. So they are creating really their own data cloud. So we've all heard about the cloud, the Amazon Web Services, Microsoft has their own cloud. They're creating their own cloud. So it's an ecosystem where Snowflake, their customers and data providers, et cetera, can get more value from all the data they have. And like we all know in life, whoever has the most data wins. And they have their own private cloud, which supports huge amounts of engineering and amounts of warehousing and science and applications and exchange of information. And where in the old days, you get $1 million contract from a client or a $10 million contract, they're getting $100 million contracts. So it's an enormous company. And just to give you the power of what I think this company is creating in the cloud and Snowflake's creating, this will be Warren Buffett and his team's first IPO purchase ever. And if that doesn't bespeak a transition of Warren Buffett's thinking and his teammates' thinking to where the future is, I think there's no bigger statement than that.
Well, fantastic. And Mark, you're a great thinker on a lot of things. Talk to us for a moment about sort of the state of the economy and what you see. Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? What's your sense of where it goes from here?
So we're 6 months and 2 days into what I consider the COVID era in the country. So I always think of Friday the 13th in March as the date that we all got real about this, or at least that we all realized that we weren't going to go back to the office and restaurants were shutting. And it just so happens to coincide when my three kids came back to San Francisco where I live because their offices were all shut, et cetera. So I think we had an immediate abrupt end to the economy as we know it for the first 2 to 4 weeks, meaning we all kind of figured out that things were stopping. We weren't flying on planes. We weren't going to restaurants. We weren't going to sporting events, et cetera. And slowly, slowly, the economy has started to open back up. And obviously, there's different pockets of the economy and different geographies that have gone earlier. The economy is clearly improving. The unfortunate thing is parts of the economy that are not benefiting from that reopening probably won't for some time. So airline capacity is 35% of where it was. Restaurants obviously are much lower than that for the majority of restaurants that are not quick casual or casual restaurants. The fine dining that we know is not going to come back. So the economy overall is improving tremendously. You're going to have great GDP numbers relative to what we had the last 6 months. We're going to have a good third quarter and certainly the fourth quarter, I think. I'm also slightly tempered because the whiz-bang vaccine that everybody is hoping for that will kind of cure it all is not going to happen. Okay, this is not going to be a light switch, which we go from on off to on. It's going to be a dimmer switch. So we're going to slightly warm things up. And I think that's going to take some time. But we're getting better, and the economy is getting better. And I think that's a real plus. And that's why the markets, I think, stayed the way it has. My fear, of course, is that this is going to continue to be a have and have not economy. And so the haves in tech and information tech are going to continue to do well. And the have nots, like we've seen in retail and consumer and places, malls and things that we're not going to, are going to continue to be underperformers. And I think that's going to continue.
Do interest rates ever start to creep up again, or is that going to lag growth in the economy by a significant period of time?
So I have been a perma bull on rates, meaning I have been very, very positive that rates are going to stay low for a long time, if not ever. And my ever means, you know, the next 10 years of my working life. I've been very, very, very optimistic that rates would stay low, the Fed would be accommodating, and that the reason the fears that people have about rampant inflation because of deficits and everything else, I think are tempered by the following. For the last 25 years, my life on Wall Street, technology has been the major deflator of the economy, meaning obviously we're doing much more with much less because technology is a deflationary tool. I always looked at the fact that Walmart and Amazon at one time sold the same amount of goods, stuff that we buy from the grocery store, stuff we buy from Staples, et cetera. Amazon and Walmart saved the same amount. Amazon had 10% as many employees. That's incredibly deflating, okay? I think going forward, the same thing's going to happen. I think we're going to have a much more productive economy with much fewer workers. That's a major problem for some of those workers who are being basically kicked out of the economy. That's a problem that we need to fix, but it's also incredibly deflationary. And I think that's going to continue. I think rates stayed low for a while. I've been calling the U.S. economy the best house on the tough block globally, given what's gone on with the pandemic and some other issues. I think rates stay low for a very, very long time. And that's a great undercurrent for the current market, because rates staying low means you got to put your capital somewhere, and nobody wants to put it in the bank at zero rates.
And talk for a moment about the mergers and acquisitions market. I know you've got IPOs going on. You work with emerging growth companies that become larger companies, often through capital and mergers and acquisitions. What's the temperature of the mergers and acquisitions market currently?
So M&A activity clearly had a tough time due to the pandemic. Okay, so it started at a very low level given what happened in March and April, and it's starting to track, according to some of the things that we do here at JMP, at more normal levels. In fact, we think Q3 announced volume is tracking higher than the same period a year ago. So we had a soft second quarter. Obviously, I think things are tracking a little above expectations for the current quarter that we track, and I think it might accelerate into the fourth quarter. The reason is there's lots of capital everywhere. Okay, there's lots more money than needs to be put to work. We've seen some huge deals on the healthcare side. Just yesterday, Gilead made a $20 billion acquisition of an oncology company. I think M&A activity, which again was tempered at the beginning of the year, will pick up going into the fourth quarter. There's some very large funds that have not put money to work with low rates. That's not beneficial to them to keep it. These funds obviously all continue to want to raise the next fund. I think M&A will pick up going into the fourth quarter, and we're already seeing signs of life of that in the third quarter.
Thank you. As we move into this fourth quarter and, quite frankly, the election, all eyes seem to be on this November election, or maybe they aren't, but any predictions on what's going to happen there with the presidency, the House, the Senate, and you're free to pass on the question or take the question, you know, but any thoughts on what you expect to happen?
Yeah, listen, I think the next the dates leading up to November 3rd, I think you're going to see a very robust market. I think people are very, very The capital's flowing, and I think you're going to see a lot of deals till then. I think it'll be a very, very bloody period in terms of dictum and what's going on between the two candidates and the two parties. I think it's going to be very, very difficult, I think, for the people who stare at their television sets, because it's very unsettling to watch two candidates kind of duke it out. My prediction, I think Biden wins. I think he wins probably more than 300 electoral votes. I think the Senate's 50-50 split. I think the House stays with the Democrats. And I think the post-November 3rd, watching the TV like we did as children and seeing, you know, CBS declare the winner is probably not going to happen. There's many reasons why mail-in voting is going to be much more prevalent this year. And I think it's because of all the things that we've read about with the post service and politicizing things like election days and election commissions. I think it's going to be it's not going to be that euphoric night where we look at one party and say they won, and you look at the other one and see them having the bad party, the unhappy party. But that's my prediction. A lot can change between now and then. I think there's a 10 or 20% chance one of the candidates, has a major stumble. I think there's a very small chance one of them comes down with COVID between now and then. I mean, there's lots of things that could change. Lots of things that could change. Currently, as it sits, that's my prediction.
Well, thank you very much. You've built a magnificent career. You're a leader of a magnificent investment bank. Mark Lehman, we appreciate you joining the Scott Becker Business Podcast today. Just a pleasure to visit with you and hear your thoughts on what you see out there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.